So Martin and I think we met 7 months ago, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, something like that, when you started to get interested more and more into policy, and I was in Eclipse trying to make something out of the CRA so that we can solve all the issues that we've been discussing during the first session. And we quickly realized that we had backgrounds that are very complementary, in a sense that he has obviously this all open source background and I have this policy background into advocacy and how to advocate in terms of policy. So out of our 4 meters combined, we sort of decided to combine our efforts. So here today I discuss what it's like to do advocacy, and then Martin will explain what it's like from an open source perspective to be new in Brussels and try to do something about it and how we try to organize the whole thing. So I think what we need to do here is share the information about how policy making is done in Brussels. In Brussels, you have several institutions gathering together in order to create those policies. The main three, one, not entering into details of all the policy-making procedures, are the Commission, the one that is drafting the proposal, for example, the one that drafted the PLD, the one that drafted the CRA, the two policy officers that were here this morning are the one who did it, together with their teams. Then you have what we call the co-legislators. One is the Parliament, the one that we directly elect, and the other one is the Council of the EU, which is representative of all the government of the EU. So we're talking France, the Netherlands, whatever country you're from in the EU, that's your government that is there. Then the question is, how do you actually influence those policies? There are, I'd say, several things to keep in mind as a community to do that. If you want to influence that policy, first is to get interested so that you gather the knowledge on the policy, to gather the reason why this policy is happening, to gather the actual details of the text or the issue that the policymakers are trying to address. The second one is get organized, trying to actually have an impact so that you have credibility and the policymakers don't see just one citizen coming to them, but a group of citizens that is organized enough to represent a part of the society. The other one is just write down stuff so that you have clarity. And then you have to identify the different elements within the policymaking process that can allow you to get involved, right? So here I'm talking about contacting policymakers, the right one, being able to identify them properly. I'm also talking about getting support in your network, in the companies that you know, because, you know, the open source community, in the case of the CRA, for instance, we want part of the overall challenge for policymakers, but they also have to discuss with industry, car companies, large tech companies that are closed source as well, and all of this needs to be addressed. I'd go back to Martin now giving details, and then we'd be exchanging throughout the presentation as well to see, you know, what didn't work, what worked, what could have worked if we would have acted differently, and then if you have questions, we try to do that as well.
Yeah, so I'll start with a quick promise. I was here last block, and this will be the last time you see me here, and then I'll just sit down and other people can talk, because we take those rules seriously. So what I will be sharing with you is my personal story of how I got here, because that was not really my plan. So my role is to work between policy and technology from Enelnet Labs, which is a small R&D organization and doing DNS and routing from Amsterdam. In September, and because this is not about me, but about the lessons I learned, I'll give you the lessons first, then you can plug your ears for the remainder of my talk, and then that works for the deal, right? So my lessons first, I think we were too late. And if you're too late, if the commission makes a proposal, then you're chasing the train, right? So we did a lot of train chasing. That means you need a lot more effort than you would have needed if we were in front of the train at the station discussing where the train would be headed. I also think, and I learned, that we cannot expect FOSS to organize as an industry organizes, because if it turns out that it is nicely organized like a trade organization, then you're probably not talking to the whole community, but just to the industry part of it. And I think, because of these facts, that the digital dossiers in the European Union need to change a little, or we need to figure out the mechanisms to do advocacy from the community. Because for all the digital dossiers, software is relevant, and for software, open source is relevant. And I'll try to illustrate why I think these are the lessons, because I think I and we all got quite lucky on this one. So two last lessons. I think we should be talking more to Parliament as a community. They should be the people that are most accessible to us. I think I personally didn't talk enough to Parliament. And it turns out that even if you don't have any EU policy experience, you can figure this out if you have enough time. And if you're lucky, then you can make this work. So now to the story, and you can plug your ears if you want to, because you just had the lessons. So in September 2020, I found out that there was this thing called the CRA, and I read it. And I thought, hey, this is weird. Open source is mentioned, which is great. But it's also clustered under the whole idea of non-commerciality. And we all know that there's also a lot of open source in commercial products, right? So I sent some emails. And I got lucky real quick because I reached out to the Dutch digital civil rights organization, Bits of Freedom. They connected me to a law professor, and they connected me to a wonderful recent graduate who had a lot of context on this law because she had recently interned with the team that actually wrote it. And I want to thank Francine because she delivered a mental model to me and to a lot of people I work with later about how this actually fits in with the NLF. And that's thanks to her. So in October, I contributed to the first blog by ISOC. They were the first, I think, to mention, hey, there's this thing coming. And I wrote a little newsletter saying, oh, I'm spending some of this time reading this stuff, and I send a little tweet. And then I got lucky again, because the tweet was noticed by the commission, by Benjamin specifically, and he said, hey, maybe you should come and talk. So that was kind of a surprise. I mean, you, right, so. So I was planning a visit to Brussels. I brought a t-shirt. Let's see. Super relevant detail, yeah. So I was there because my organization works in DNS, right? So I was attending a DNS conference in Brussels. And I decided to drop by the commission because I was invited. So I learned a couple of things. They have really nice rooms with really nice flags, and you get they receive you friendly people, and then you get kicked out because that room was for the boss. what also really stuck with me, and Benjamin repeated it this morning, one of his colleagues said, oh, it's so refreshing not to talk to a lobbyist for once. And I was like, yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing here, but... But it was really constructive, and I'm not saying this to please people. I'm saying this was November 2022. We actually had conversations about whether compliance work would increase security of open source, and I was arguing it probably wouldn't. And we got the question, like, is there anything we can do that will increase security? And so we got into the conversation about if a vendor is obliged to report a vulnerability, maybe they should also be obliged to send the patch if they have one. And that was just a conversation. And I don't know how it got into the law. Maybe Benjamin will tell us someday. But I think at that point already, they were thinking, oh, maybe you can tweak this a little, which I think was great. I also learned, and this is about talking to Parliament, Benjamin and his colleagues were very insistent that I should talk to the co-legislators. And it was like, well, I'm here now, so co-legislators, oh, there's also other. And it turned out they were actually done already because they made the proposal, they could explain the proposal, but they were not the party making changes at that point in time. So in December, I visited Brussels again, and I came with a list of examples like, hey, this is the ways that people write software and maybe interpret it as a commercial activity. And people told me, yeah, that's great, but you need to talk to the co-legislators. I was like, oh, great, maybe I'm doing this wrong. But I'm now talking to you, so maybe you should come to FOSDEM. So last year we had at Janson the session with Omar, with Benjamin, and I think that was the first time we did EU policy at FOSDEM. And some questions were raised, because Benjamin told us, it's on camera, you should be talking to the co-legislators. And Alex, who's chairing this room today, was in the audience and asked, so what is your plan? Because you're talking to the wrong people. And he was right, right? But I didn't know, so we're just trying to get. So what it did get us, though, was it started building alliances, right? Because a lot of people started interacting with me, with others. Open Forum Europe became very active. And I think that was what FOSDEM did for us. Now, remember that blog? It did three things. So I got in touch with people who did know how Brussels worked. And that was useful because I didn't. I got an email from an aide to the Dutch Senate. And they were interested to understand what this about. So they started writing questions to the commission. They started writing questions to the Dutch government. And these questions are obligatory to answer, right? So it created some pressure. And we got a visit at the Nelnet Labs from the Dutch delegation writing the CRA from the from the council perspective. And it turned out that the Dutch were both very pro-CRA, but they also grasped FOS. So that, I think, was a win, because at that point in time, I could start to talk to the right people instead of the friendly people, because that was kind of how this works, right? So the questions from the Senate helped for the civil servants to actually show up, because they need to focus their time on where the relevant problems are, right? And I got some help from people that are more experienced working the Dutch government. So I want to thank Bert. Then came some silence, because FOSDEM was over, and I talked to the Dutch, and then everything moved back into its own room, right? There was just silence. And I got a rejection from Parliament, because I applied to go to the hearing, and they're saying, yeah, we don't know you. We were mostly talking, I mean, there's limited seating, and we're talking to the people we've heard from before. So that was a bit of disappointed. I mean, it was a very kind rejection letter, but it didn't help me as like a random Joe trying to... but also Open Forum Europe built up steam. So so Open Forum Europe was the place where a lot of us met on a weekly basis. Kieran made an agenda every week, who's now in the corner, and he basically made sure that people were actually discussing the same topics, no matter where they're... and we, or maybe I, got lucky again, because about every couple of weeks, I got from random people leaks from the council discussion, from what the parliament was discussing, and I learned how to analyze these and just share, like, oh, this is what is being discussed. And I also learned how not to write a position paper, because we wrote some, they were very lengthy, and I think they were completely ignored. So that was a good thing to learn. And we learned that the policymaker perception was that we were just trying to get out. So I, and I think a number of people, shifted focus to challenge some specific assumptions instead of arguing about the scope. So over the summer, I started emailing some MEPs, the commission, the council. There was a lot of silence and a bit of despair. But then in the October-November timeframe, suddenly communication started flowing. We got emails, not just me, anyone, asking for reviews. We got asked questions for input. There was a proposal floated about an open source steward, and no one saw coming. And I think at that point, we started to be in the position where we should have been before the train left. There were people engaged on a topic, talking to the right people about the policies they were making. And I think the policymakers delivered in Parliament, in the Commission, and in Council by actually having conversation about these topics with people working on the specific aspect. So this is how I got to these lessons learned. We were too late. We cannot expect the community to organize like industry. And I think digital dossiers need a way to get us involved at a stage where in a way that actually works for the community. Oh yeah, and you should talk to the co-legislators. That's it for me. I'm handing over to Enzo because I did a lot of things weirdly, and I'm happy to hear about it, maybe now or later.
So I think it raises the questions then. From the very beginning, I sort of said, this is how it normally works. You get organized, you get interested, and then you start writing stuff, and then you speak to the co-legislators. But the question is, and Martin raised it very well, he got lucky. I wish I could be that lucky in my life. But how are we going to get organized? Who is going to be the person that is enough interested in the open source community so that we get the information at the right time? Who is going to write the stuff? How are we going to agree on the stuff that we want the open source community to say? All those questions, we need to figure them out on our side, because Martin just said the co-legislators and basically all the institutions need to figure out a better way to interact with us. But how do we also get better at interacting with them? And that's the question that we probably going to have to discuss today during the workshop and the fishbowl. And that's, I think, the question of today in this specific session are the two. What do we want the co-legislators to do so that they can come to us more often and in a better manner? And how can we step towards them as well so that we also get better at interacting with co-legislators and the commission? Thank you.
Thank you.